This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. A little bit of a programming note. Next week, Ron and I will be off on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of the Thanksgiving holiday. So I hope you enjoy your holiday and all the football that comes with it. This holiday season, find out what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon, Cabernet, Chardonnay, or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide, and all with the confidence of knowing that you found something special for the lowest price. You'll love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21. All right, so we're talking college football. Matt Rochelle set to join us here from the Orlando Sentinel. Again, one of our favorite guys to talk college football because I always like going a little big picture with Matt. How are you, my friend? Matt, did we get you?
How are you doing this morning?
Good, man. How are you, my friend?
Not too bad.
All right. Well, it bears repeating, and I know it's probably the most asked question when it comes to these college football playoffs every single year, but I think it does set what we're looking at this year. In the experience that we've had with this in close to 10 years, how important is it for teams to win their conference championship game?
It's very important to win their conference championship, and at least that's what the College Football Playoff Selection Committee has been telling us since they created this playoff, is that, you know, that conference championships add certain weight to when they're looking at considerations. So it's one of the arguments when people want to put a non-champion into the mix, you have to have a very good reason to do that, you know. And I know there's the eye test, and I know there's the schedule, and I know things like that are also being considered. But to me, it's ludicrous to not put in a conference champion over a team that doesn't win just because you think that maybe that conference champion isn't necessarily as strong. That's not to say it hasn't happened before, but there are years when there are some really strong conference champions that deserve to be in there. And this year is going to be a real test for that. You know, when we talk about teams like TCU and Southern Cal, those are two teams right now that are on path to possibly play in their conference championship games and win them. And if they do that, how is that going to affect a team like a Tennessee or an LSU or Georgia if they lose in a conference championship game? So this is going to be something that we have to keep a very close eye on, and whether or not the committee actually is going to apply that this year heavily or not.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I mean, if Tennessee does run the table against South Carolina and Vanderbilt, and they're just sitting there without that 13th game, and they're looking at a USC team that could surpass them with that 13th game, and they're also looking at where do they stand with LSU, if LSU with two losses and they beat LSU wins the SEC championship. It's not quite crystal clear yet. There's still a lot of things that need to be worked out.
Yeah, very much so. You know, USC to me is the interesting team because, listen, their remaining two games right now, regular season games, are going to be against ranked opponents. They play UCLA, who's number 16, and they're going to play Notre Dame, which is number 18. So, you know, they get a strong finish to their season. Plus, they're going to play then they would play in the Pac-12 championship game, which would probably be against, you know, another ranked team, whether it be Utah or whoever. That's going to have a huge impact to me. If they win the Pac-12 championship, they've played three straight top 25 ranked teams going into the finale. And so, if you're a Tennessee team, which is only finishing up with a Vanderbilt, you know, and a South Carolina team, and you don't have a conference championship, it's very hard for me to justify putting them in over a USC team if something were to happen. So, that's why I think this committee is really going to kind of find itself in a difficult spot. And then you brought up the LSU situation. If LSU beats Georgia, you know, how does Georgia and a one-loss Georgia team, how do they not get into the mix? Because they've been the number one team pretty much throughout the playoff rankings. So, it's a difficult situation. Another situation why we keep talking about why the playoff needs to expand.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is the idea that we sort of play around with this. But the more that we've had years where it sorts itself out, I think this is one of those years where you start going, look, this really is seven or eight teams deep. Maybe some years we weren't, but this is really seven or eight teams deep.
Yeah, very much so, you know, and I think then you're going to have ACC people who are going to scream, if Clemson wins the ACC, you know, why isn't Clemson being mixed in that mix? You know, they've got one loss, you know what I mean? It's against a Notre Dame team that is, you know, a solid team. And so Again, this is where I think a lot of people are going to point to this idea of, okay, we need to expand the playoff. It's going to happen, obviously. It's not going to happen maybe until 2026 or maybe 2024, depending. But again, this is one of those cases, and I think someone's going to be left out of the mix that's not going to be happy about it.
Let's talk about Ohio State and Michigan. And is the loser of their game, are they still in the conversation?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure of that case. I mean, you know, everyone keeps kind of pushing them off to the side. You know, I mean, no one's talking about the SEC and everything like that, getting two teams in. But, you know, that would basically eliminate one of those Big Ten teams. And I think that's going to probably end up being the case. I mean, I think whether it's one of those two teams doesn't have enough to get in. I mean, Michigan, you know, Illinois losing the last couple weeks has hurt Michigan's case because Michigan would have had a game with them this weekend, which would have been a top 25 matchup. And then they would have had Ohio State. And then if they'd won, they would have gone on to the Big Ten championship. That's the problem. The Big Ten championship is going to feature one of those two teams, Ohio State and Michigan. And then, you know, someone from the Big Ten West, there's no one in the Big Ten West really that's ranked, you know. And so that's very difficult. You know, they don't have that boost in cachet that could help put them in, you know, with the championship game. So it's going to be very difficult, you know. And I think whoever wins the Big Ten is in, whoever loses is out.
We kind of get an idea about Georgia and Ohio State and Michigan. These are teams that have been around our lives for a while. How best would you describe the way TCU is playing this year?
I mean, to me, this is one of the best stories in college football. I mean, listen, I mean, TCU was picked to finish, I think it was either fifth or sixth in the Big 12. Sonny Dykes comes in. It's his first year. He comes over from SMU. Not a lot of people expect TCU to be a factor, not least in year one. They expect the Oklahomas and the Texases to be there. And here he is. He goes off and wins 10 straight games, beats four ranked opponents, and, you know, finds himself in the Big 12 championship game. I mean, that to me is probably one of the best stories in college football right now. And if they could continue to do what they're doing, you know, and win the Big 12 championship, I think Sonny Dykes has got to be coach of the year. I mean, because, you know, this was not expected from this team. And it's big for the Big 12. Listen, the Big 12 is adding, you know, has gone through its conference realignment, adding four teams next year. You know, we had a news media rights deal. It's got a new commissioner in Brett Yormark. I think to have a team in the mix for the playoff this year is a big step for them. And I think it continues to show that the conference is strong, just as much as it is for the Pac-12, you know, to having strong teams up there as well. Anytime you go through something like this with some instability, you know, it's always good to showcase that you still have teams that are being a factor. So to me, TCU is, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you about the Pac-12. That to me is for all the years that we've shut the Pac-12 in a box and said, oh my goodness, that's, you know, they've got conference champions with multiple losses. It feels like they've really turned it around this year and are showcasing some of the better teams in college football.
Very much so. I mean, this is a conference. Let's not forget that before the season started, we weren't even sure if it was going to be around, you know, at the end of the year, because, you know, they were talking about, you know, other teams leaving, you know, USC, UCLA going to the Big Ten, you know, other teams maybe would leave and join the Big 12. So for them to have five, six solid teams, you know, and factors in the playoff race, some of these are, I think it's been big. I think it's been huge for them. And I think it helps, you know, establish, especially as the Pac-12 is trying to work out its media rights deal, it's trying to stay together. You know, it needed to showcase the fact that these teams needed, you know, are important, and this league has done a very good job. So when you think about the last two or three years where the Pac-12 has been basically out of the mix halfway through the season, this has been huge for them. And I think as long as, you know, USC and Utah and Oregon and you know, all those teams kind of continue to play well, even towards the very end, I think it's going to make a good case for them.
Let's talk about LSU for a second. And Brian Kelly's first year, boy, they start off, they lose to Florida State. That looks a little better now, given where Florida State is at 7-3. They get bombed by Tennessee, but that's it. But how do you describe the way the Tigers are either A, turning their season around, or B, what they've been all season?
Well, I think the thing early on was, I think Brian Kelly was just still trying to figure out what kind of team this was going to be. You know, I think they were trying to establish their identity. You know, that Florida State loss, yeah, at the time was bad, and there were a lot of people who thought Brian Kelly wasn't the right hire, you know, but I think it just took them a while to kind of get everything kind of together, get their identity established, figure out how they were going to run their offense. You know, Jalen Daniels is an incredible, talented athlete. You know, they've used him a lot more with his legs. They used their passing attack has improved a lot more as well. Their defense has been outstanding. A lot of those young players and some of those transfers that he brought in, it took them a little bit to get their kind of the feet on the ground. And I think now they've done that. And this has been an incredible run for them. And let's not, you know, I think the win over Alabama, you can't say enough about that, because that's all Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly in the very end of that, you know, he makes the decision to go for it on two that basically, you know, won them the game. And then they found ways to win. I mean, last weekend, you know, against Arkansas, you know, a game they could have easily just, you know, kind of let get away from them because of the fact that, you know, they're coming off that big win. They were able to find a way to win that. So I think it's been a good run for Brian Kelly. You know, I mean, I think as long as they continue to play as hard as they have been, I think they can make a good chance to make up some ground. Now, can they beat Georgia? I mean, that's going to be remains to be seen. But just for the future of the LSU program, I think this is pretty big.
Let's talk about Clemson for a second. I know you mentioned it earlier, losing to Notre Dame. It was in South Bend. Notre Dame's a ranked team. They're not one of the top ranked teams, but they're a ranked team. And yet I feel like they went, no, we don't like this at all. I mean, 9 is not part of the party, and yet they still can beat North Carolina, a ranked team, in the ACC championship and go undefeated and win the conference championship. Are they still saying something to Clemson about either A, their season, or they really didn't like that loss?
You know, I think the committee just really didn't like that loss at the time. Because, you know, Notre Dame, when it happened, Notre Dame wasn't really ranked, you know what
right,
I mean? And,
right.
And Notre Dame had its struggles, had lost, you know, two games to start the season off. And I just think they looked at Clemson's overall schedule. I think they looked at the ACC, and I think they didn't feel like the ACC was nearly as strong. I think putting Clemson at 9 this week in the playoff rankings really says a lot to me. So it's basically there's no chance that Clemson can come back.
Right, I agree.
You know, I mean, North Carolina's at 13. Don't get me wrong. I think North Carolina's another great story out there with Mac Brown. But I don't think that's enough beating North Carolina to put them into the mix. You know, I mean, they would need a lot of chaos to happen above them before Clemson finds its way in there. And that's, again, there's going to be, you know, the ACC is going to argue, okay, well, we have a strong league. Look at, you know, we had the Wake Forest, we had NC State, we had Florida State, we had a lot of teams. Syracuse at one point was ranked. I mean, we had a lot of teams that were ranked. Why aren't we being considered more? But the committee, for some reason, just doesn't feel strongly about what Clemson is, the job that Clemson has done and their schedule, you know, and I think that's unfortunate, but it happens. I mean, there's only so many spots, you know, now, and you know, that you have to really almost play perfect football to get in there.
It is amazing if you're Dabo Swinney and you're like, listen, I've won national championships, I've beaten Alabama, I have shown that I can recruit top talent, and now you're treating me like an FCS school that like gets into the party, or a non-power five school, I should say, that gets into the party, but we're just waiting for that one loss and then you're gone.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's where it makes this so important, you know, that it's sometimes it can just be what the loss is, you know,
right.
Which team did you lose to? I mean, you know, you look at Tennessee, I mean, Tennessee's staying on the edge because their only loss really is to Georgia, you know what I mean? And you look at the, you know, how that kind of can impact the team. So sometimes it can just be the loss or how the loss is perceived. And I mean, I think it doesn't help too that the SEC, again, once again, is strong. You know, you've got, you know, three of the top six teams are from the SEC. You know, the Big Ten has two strong teams. TCU being in the mix, you know, this year has kind of made things a little more difficult. And then the Pac-12, as we just talked about, being really strong this year, you know, I mean, it's kind of put Clemson kind of in the back of the line. I mean, they really can't make up any ground at this point. And it's unfortunate, you know, if maybe North Carolina were higher ranked, maybe if they were in the top 10, maybe you could make the case you could put them in there. But I think at this point, you know, I think it's just a lot of them waiting and seeing if maybe they can kind of catch up if someone else trips up.
Matt, always good stuff, man. Appreciate it as always.
No problem. Thank you. Take
Matt
care.
Michelle, Orlando Sentinel, College Football Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Find out with a quote from progressive.com. We'll come back, wrap up the hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.